Hey everybody, this is Petey from the Spinner Rack, and today I am troubled that there is an X-Men 97 and they have a plot line where it looked like Jean was pregnant, right? But at the same time, we have a cartoon trying to deal with pregnancy. It's a little much for me, right? It's really something that shouldn't happen. And then other people are saying that's actually Madeline Pryor here. So it's throwing in like we don't have any sort of ideas here. We're gonna try to use this plot line that was kind of wasn't the best plot line for Cyclops, and not because he left his wife. We're just gonna go through. I want to show you this for a second. Just go through who is actually Madeline Pryor, right? So if you imagine this, at some point, Cyclops already had a girlfriend, right? And you look at this issue here. This is X-Men 168. It's Professor Xavier was a jerk, right? And we have Cyclops run into his girlfriend, Lee Forrester, right? She hasn't seen him. She has this joyous meeting with him. And he knows that he's kind of leaving. He's seeing his grandparents, but somehow he was an orphan and finds out he has grandparents. Even though he wasn't given a different name, and his father was a Air Force major, and somehow his kids become orphaned, and one of them's adopted, the other one who has this eye issue doesn't get adopted, right? So he's telling him that he's not, he's trying to say he might not be back because I think they forgot at this point that Cyclops is planning on not coming back at all. He's planning on going into space with his father for some strange reason, right? And he's trying to kind of having a little awkward moment here on the beach, and then Lee says he would go, and she says no, right? And they said they wanted to be happy, right? So she wants to be with him, right? So we have this moment on the beach, and we're gonna go past all the next Kitty stuff, all this stuff that somehow makes her stay as an X-Men. And we're in Anchorage, Alaska for some strange reason, right? That's where his parents are. I guess it's supposed to explain why his grandparents are all the way out there. And then we have a moment, right? Where he says, oh no, I says, I'm Scott, it's Alex, and Chris Summer, their father. Have I gone mad? But Dad and Alex see it too. Her face, her voice, her face, it can't be. It's impossible. Welcome to, I'm Madeline Pryor. And I'm like, he just ran into a redhead. Why is he acting so nutty? Right? And Madeline Pryor was a name used in Avenger Annual where she says, I'm Madeline Pryor. She was a little girl saying that she was Madeline Pryor. She was sick, but she got better. And then somehow they blamed it on the fans saying that, hey, how did they now, that was Madeline, right? Who knows? But Madeline's origin is way different. So we're not going to get to that right now, right? So I should go back to the head of this issue. There's a whole bunch of stuff we shouldn't be seeing here. But it's going to lead to the key portions of this plot, right? Right, so this is 2 issues later, they're slow dancing. And I'm like, what? This is Cyclops. And the Cyclops isn't awkward because of he's, he has a reason to be awkward because he has these optic blasts that are always on. So that's why he's not too keen. If you see some shots in the original X-Men issues, Cyclops is kind of positioned away when he dances with Jean because his son, because of his eye beams, right? But and it kind of jumps. It's kind of a like a jump cut to a relationship, right? This is their first date after weeks of flying cargo all across the state. Both are discovering it's turned out to be a lot more than they bargained for. And they don't mind it a bit. So they're slow dancing. And there's this theme of fire around while they're together, right? So they're having these moments, they're connecting. She's obviously going to seem to be the best girlfriend in the world, right? And Cyclops kind of steps away, and you're wondering why they were so close. You see her in the fire, the hint to Jean stuff. He shows her a picture that she looks like Jean, right? And then it pushes her away, right? He says, a dream come true or a nightmare? And she has to think about, right? So he's up front with her, right? But then she's kind of sweet him, so he just says one thing and she's right back into the fray. And they want to go back to dancing. We're not going to deal with the Morlocks, which destroyed the X-Men. This whole plot is totally destroyed the X-Men, right? So then we had this other subplot, right? And this has Mastermind, who's known as Jason Wingard. Weingard is after Mystique, and then we have Jean Grey pop up, right? And Jean's gonna kill this, and somehow these mutants are chasing after a mutant, right? And she wakes up, but it's kind of awkward way to get the subplot in that Mastermind is gonna be involved in here, and how would she know this? So we don't want to deal with any of that stuff. And it's to show how tough and strong how Storm is. And then we have them kissing through the night, right? And she gets the sunlight, hits him, and she grabs the glasses. Now, the other thing is that Cyclops would keep his distance because of the glasses. So it's just like, what is happening here, right? So he has to let her know that he has these powers. So he shows her, and again, she's the most understanding woman on the planet. It's going to lead to something later, right? So we got Rogue in the house. The next issue, we see Madeline and see the fire. There's always fire around, right? You know, it's Alaska. They're always trying to show you fire, and she has a bad dream, and she wakes up and she tells him that how she got here. She was a big pilot in San Francisco, but she had a crash and there was explosion, fire all around, and she walked out, not even scratched. So at this point, I think Shooter's saying, whatever you do, do not, this is not me making up. He says it in an interview. He said, do not say that that's Jean. You make her something else. But he is connecting when Jean died to when Madeline had this plane crash. So he's like, uh-oh, that's a shock to him. And then in the next issue, we gotta go another issue. You know, Alex is saying, hey, two guys have the biggest troubles with their powers. And he's trying to say, hey, you know, he's trying to be relaxed about it. And it's like, what? He tells them about the moment and that sort of thing. So we're clearly keying into that this is connected to Jean, right? So Wolverine has a wedding, he's bringing her to the wedding. They're like it's like Lee is totally forgotten in this thing, right? And Lolandra sees her and thinks it's on the Phoenix. And then Storm comes and she's surprised. And here we get another moment to show you how well adjusted Maddie is. She finds out she's holding a dragon. And said, what have you got into for another cute moment? And somehow this wedding doesn't happen and Mastermind's involved. So what Mastermind is doing is never really clearly figure it out, right? But we're gonna jump. Obviously, this is gonna be at the wrong page as everything is, because I started this video one time and now I'm behind with all this stuff, right? So we have, which clearly looks like an engagement. I'm like, engaged? It's like 6 or 7 issues since they met. So it's a little rushed in my opinion, right? And I guess it's around where a lot of other titles are having weddings, and you know, the Fantastic Four had the wedding of who was it? Black Bolt and Medusa. You had the Teen Titans had the wedding of who was it? Terry Long and Wonder Girl, Donna Troy. So she takes them up in space, and they of course are so close, and Kassar walks her around. Right? And then he mentions that Scott was planning on staying with them. Now, he didn't tell anybody this stuff. He didn't tell Lee, you know, that he was gonna like just start traveling in space, leaving everything behind, even though he has grandparents. And I guess Chris Arbin knows that Cyclops is alive and had grandparents, so it's really weird, right? So he's still thinking about Jean. Like, could this be Jean? And, you know, dealing with his ghosts and staying, and she's trying to keep him here, which any, you know, happens, right? You're getting past all this stuff, so we're not really dealing with that. Another Jean moment, right? So we realize he's thinking about should he stay, but he got engaged, right? Sees that he has to deal with is that Jean, right? And he has a picture from Jean back when he was in Greece, when he was in Greece when he was with her. So they get back to the place. Jason Wingard is there, right? Cyclops is going to talk to her about the She Phoenix, right? Now, getting the punch in the face is a little extreme, but it's a comic book, so it's what happens, right? And Cyclops, like, there was some punch and I deserved it. How could I have been such a jerk? What could have possessed me? I hurt Madeline as deeply as a person could be hurt. And as much as I as much told her that our love is a lie, that I don't care for her, that only for the ghost she represents, right? So that's kind of hinting that he's all the stuff that goes with it. But actually, he wasn't wrong. Look, it's Phoenix, or it's Jason Winger. Who knows? It's an illusion, but it's clearly on the floor. That's not really how Mastermind's powers work, unless it was connected with the some sort of thing. And once again, we are too far in the story, right? Let's stop sharing this. So while we're here, while I'm going through this, try to find you a spot. Ultimately, Dark Phoenix comes back and wipes the floor with the X-Men, right? But Jason Wingard's here, so it's like, how does this all connect? Does Jason Wingard still have the mind tap? We saw Jean destroy it, right? But if we get to here, you see, Jason Winger is a master illusionist, right? He knows Madeline's history, and he's going to make the X-Men and Madeline suffer since he doesn't have Jean to pay back, right? It So Cyclops, Cyclops resembles Phoenix to them, so they're trying to take her out. And they haven't realized that basically she don't have the power to do much besides run and running on the floor. And we see and Cyclops uses all of his smarts to take out the X-Men, but he gets Rogue, who he wants, and he's able to use Professor X's powers and Rogue and some of the techniques that he's learned to show them that he's not Jean. But somehow he's able, the Mastermind is able to do the voice, which I don't know that he was able to do before, right? Sorry, guys. But ultimately, once they figure out that it's not, you realize that it's Phoenix is back, right? So now that they know it, they can fight against it, right? And ultimately, this time, instead of using the powers that he has, he's able to use a bullet, a gunshot. So Storm, of course, at this period, always overusing their powers, drenches them, almost kills them, and Cyclops goes to Madeline, who's worse for wear, and he does mouth to mouth, and they get engaged. And I'm like, what? They're not getting married. So it's like, how long has it been? 7 issues or 8 issues, something like that. It's only been 7 issues. And Cyclops says goodbye to Jean and he gets married, right? So then they have the honeymoon. It's an X-Men honeymoon. So, oh, I jumped this one too. Good Lord. Basically, they're on a trip and they run into this octopus, right? But this is John Romita's Jr.'s first solo issue. We got two anchors on it. Bob Wyack does the first one part, and then Bob McLeod does the second part. And I wasn't too keen on John Romita Jr. taking over, but there's something about his art that kind of pulled me in, especially looking at the I-beams. It looks like the beams are on, and that's one of the things that you gotta remember. He's got these beams that are on, right? So him getting married, the beams, they should be thinking about it. But the dynamics of the two of them together is pretty cool, right? And let's see. So we don't have to really deal with that. It shows they're in love, that sort of thing. And then next, after this, Secret Wars happened, so she was taken while in arms. This is the closest we've seen where she's a little less understanding, right? He's been gone for a week, but he was teleported out, right? And she was sad and just gone for a week, even though, okay, because there's Secret Wars, but they kind of get through that. And then next we see, no, what happened? Oh, that's what happened. Sorry, guys. There we go. So next we see them, they're in Alaska and there's no caller ID. So, Rachel calls and tries to talk to her parents, who she thinks are her parents. She hangs up, right? So this is going to be a long subplot. So where am I supposed to go from here? Going here, and this looks like it's the issue where they kind of consummate the relationship, right? And it looks like he don't got much to do out here, right? So, but he says he has to go see Xavier, right? He says he has to go see Xavier at this point, right? And she's like, hey, I understand, but you gotta make some sacrifice for the family too, not just the X-Men. And he agrees. So at this point, she understands that if something comes up, he needs to go for some time, right? Right? So this is the point which should have happened in X Factor, right? So we have a point here where she's very understanding, right? And then we lead into X-Men Annual. This would lead into, I think, what's that thing? I've already done a long thing on X-Men Alpha Flight, Basically, next to an Alpha Flight, she becomes Cyclops, and her they get connected to Loki, and then they sort of are able to. That's when we reveal that they have a kid. What else happens? They reveal that they have a kid. They're in love. Rachel's upset, but it's a many touching moments between Rachel and Cyclops, right? So this happens after that, right? So I thought, wow, X-Men are back where they should be with Arthur Adams on, right? So I don't think I had the New Mutants annual when I first bought this, but I bought it soon after, right? Because this stuff is gorgeous. I was like, wow, there's some really good stuff. Some wacky X-Men stuff, but this artist is pretty good. And Cyclops is there, right? Cyclops is going to use these lightning bolts that he got from Archon, and somehow he's going to use it to somehow, right combination will get them to Asgard. You see this moment between Cyclops and Rachel where she's got the Phoenix outfit on. He's kind of fearful of that, but he's okay with Madeline, right? And Cyclops not really in this anymore after that, right? So I already discussed, even though at this point we have Cyclops back, and is Madeline in this issue? Well, we just have a scene where Cyclops is with the X-Men. Madeline is still there, but it's saying that her son is going to be born pretty soon, right? So I showed you that already. So in 200, now we have a setup where we know that Magneto's on trial. This is issue 200. And man, this one's gonna be really long, right? So issue 200, the pregnancy is the quickest pregnancy out. And 170, well, I guess maybe it was before that. Who knows, right? But now there's a subplot in here that the other X-Men have phoned her, but not Cyclops, which is kind of ridiculous, right? But you gotta tear down Cyclops, right? Tells him in Paris, so Landra leaves, but the shock of what happens, the teleportation, the baby's about to be born, right? So this is, she has the baby, and Cyclops, you're the father. Look at Cyclops looking away here. And somehow Madeline lost all the baby weight. There's no baby weight on her, right? And here we have the thing of her being not as adjusted, but I guess this is dealing with X Factor, right? Now she was already agreeable about Cyclops doing what he had to. He said, "I was so happy." In the beginning, it was like a storybook, complete with a happy ending, and lived happily ever after. Scott came back to the X-Men because he felt he was needed. I followed from our home in Alaska because I wanted us to be together for the birth of our child, and went off. And he and the X-Men went off to Asgard to rescue you, and I was left on my own. No problem. I coped. Always have, always will. Then when you return, materialize from France, for heaven's sake, Kitty phoned, you phoned, almost everyone called to see how I was, except for my husband. Not a word, not a peep. He had more important things on his mind to do. I gave birth to my son and on this floor, and I was lucky almost almost before I realized I was in labor and I had a baby in my arms. I reached out to the hospital and everything was all right. It could have been different. My boy could have died. I could have died, but I understand Scott wasn't there. You know, at least he could have let me know he cared, right? And then she gets into being a private man all of a sudden. Yeah, he's already that. So it's just like, it's very stilted in how it's done, and Cyclops being standoffish at this point. So I think it's trying to set up the breakup, but it's really doing it in a bad way to make Cyclops a jerk. You know, so he's setting up all this stuff where, to kind of ensure the breakup, but Madeline was pretty much a little more understanding than this. And since Cyclops has been very upfront about everything, right? And he tells her why he needs to stay, because, Xavier is gone. And somehow they're having their first real, well, I guess the second, because they talked about his I beams, but then of course you have to decide who's gonna lead, right? And at this point, he's pretty much ultimately they should have, I don't know. It's really tough, right? So I'm really, so basically X Factor happens, right? X Factor happens. And X Factor happens, she's already gone. They go back. They leave the X-Men. Obviously, it's a strange time for Scott because he was unceremoniously dumped by the X-Men. But ultimately, Jean is back, and that's more important than even Xavier. So he at least had to come back for that. And she should have went with him with the baby. But she says, "You go, I'm not coming back. You can't come back here." Now, both, either way, they decided that Cyclops. They tried an expert to say the Cyclops tried to call, but at the same time they kind of acted like he didn't call. It was back and forth, right? Claremont acted like he didn't call. X-Factor acted like he did call, and there was no answers. Then it was the idea that she possibly died, right? So we have this. She has a flashback of what happened. Plane gets destroyed. She walks out of it no problem, with the Phoenix thing behind her, right? But at the same time, when you don't know you have powers, you're very weak and susceptible to being punished, right? So we see her get shot in this thing by the Reavers, right? She's getting tracked for some strange reason. And she wakes up from her coma, right? It seemed like she was somehow made it out, right? So then she becomes the Reavers come back. Oh, they're the Marauders, sorry, the Marauders. They come back to kill what's the name, and somehow she called the X-Men. And we have another big battle. But this is more of a battle to reveal that Polaris is now the leader of the Marauders, right? So you get a big battle between them, and she becomes like the supporting character to the X-Men. Now, behind the scenes, Chris Claremont would not allow X-Factor to have Madeline, so she became a mainstay in the X-Men. And we have Terry Gamble. I was almost like, I wish he kind of took over the book, right? So we get this nice overview of everything that happened. They got married, Cyclops leaves, and then she gets attacked by the Marauders, right? And to Havoc, it looks like she's gonna kill herself. And then she goes with the X-Men. Don't think that's it, right? She goes with the X-Men to Australia. X-Men die, but they're actually alive and they go there, right? So at some point, we get the big reveal that You don't know where her son is, right? And it's leading to Inferno, right? So we got this nice Adam Inferno by Sylvester and Terry Austin and his return to the X-Men for just a poster, right? And see, after all this time of them in Australia, Madeline comes and they have a moment together, right? And we see that Mrs. Sinister has the baby, right? And we're gonna lead into what her history is, right? He talks to this guy from Limbo, he's trying to find the baby, and that's gonna lead to this Inferno thing, right? So, and then in this, is it this issue? All right, I think we're gonna get the actual history of her, right? They're having this glorious romance now, and she did flashbacks. She runs into her parent, Jean's parents, and let's see. She finds out. There's a replicant research and it says Madeline, right? We see so she gets a hint that this could possibly be her. And Mr. Sinister, right? So from here, and he says he's her father, right? So Mr. Sinister was never really a fan of his, but he's gonna give you, once they captures the so-called Goblin Queen, and Fan of Flames is connected to Inferno, still more fighting the Marauders. You gotta get past all this stuff. So we can quickly get to right. So we go through Madeline's memories and he tells her that it's not your memories, that's someone else's, right? We have here, we have a history of Jean, right? And he was planning, he had this clone, and was the clone, nothing had happened with her. Phoenix had came in and connected with the clone. So we got our history with how she became Madeline Pryor, and that ultimately she was also tricking the X-Men into not giving them updated that that X Factor weren't bad guys. So when they first meet in the next X-Men issue, they're enemies. And then she ultimately, Cyclops is trying to save his son and all this other stuff. And ultimately, she dies because, she's on the side of the bad guys, but they kind of redeem her, and her memories get imported into Jean. So she has all the memories of everything, but she doesn't have the Phoenix power. She just has the memories of Madeline. So it leads to Cyclops and Jean having a long period of being together, right? So there you go. This is a pretty long way to kind of go through it, but it was kind of rushed and kind of stilted. And I don't know what else to say about it. It's not necessarily my favorite X character and plot, and I think had he just had him marry Alex and did all this stuff, or revealed that Madeline, the mastermind had fooled him to seeing Madeline as Jean, and then we see her real face, that she doesn't look anything like Jean, then we could have moved on. You could have totally moved on without she Cyclops could have come back after she after X Factor was there and met her, but he was also trying to get rid of Cyclops. And that's the inherent problem with Madeline, was that the idea was that Cyclops would now grow up. Instead of he was trying to save humans, but if for superheroes you have to somehow grow up and not put on a costume, which is basically what they do to save lives. So, and I think Cyclops, like in X Factor, would be helping the next generation of X-Men, right? I understand that's not a job that Chris Claremont can see, and everyone else is in the tour of duty. Cyclops shouldn't have been retired, right? Even if he was married, and if he was married, that would have kept him in the book had he become the headmaster. But it feels like they were hell-bent on making Magneto the headmaster and stilting the storyline so you could see Magneto doing good. So anyway, but then also Magneto's there to show you that he could go bad again, right? So they'll always be on the edge. So there you go, that's Madeline Pryor. Try to go through it with the issue so you can see some of the bits that of the relationship, how it went from most understanding girlfriend to a girlfriend that wouldn't understand that his girl, his the person he loved, first love who died, came back and he wanted to see her, and she was against that, right? So anyway, Spinrack is out.